Mother. Wife.
Air Force veteran.
Gun rights advocate.
This is Stacy on the Right. Here's your host, Stacy Washington.
Welcome to Stacy on the Right. If you're just tuning in, we've had a ripping good time. We've had a ripping good time tonight. You would want to get to your SXM app and listen to everything that you missed. You can always catch up later using the app to listen to previous shows. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. Welcoming into the program, Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, retired, spokesperson for the National Police Association. The website is nationalpolice.org. Sergeant Betsy, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be a part of this show tonight. It's been amazing so far.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. We had awesome guests, and I was looking forward to you joining us here now because... And so I just want to make a preface because I know there'll be someone who'll call in and say, Stacy, mean she hates people because she's rejoicing because someone was carjacked. I'm not. I don't think it's good when anyone is carjacked. I hate it. I hate crime. But it is interesting that a former defund the police activist, notice I said former because now that she's been carjacked, she's seen the light, was the victim of a carjacking. And she has had a change of heart. Tell us all about this. It's a huge story.
Well, it is. So there's a member of she's the Democrat Farmers Labor Party, and she just a few years ago called sometimes she'd talk about defund, sometimes she'd talk about abolishing the Minneapolis Police Department. And in fact, the night that they burned the third precinct down, Stacey, in Minneapolis, the night that my girlfriend, who was a lieutenant there, was live texting me photos of her precinct being burned down, this woman tweeted out that this was a revolutionary act that needed to happen. But now Shavanti is her first name. She got carjacked, sadly, very, very sadly, with her young children in the car. And four violent youths, beat her up, stole some things. And so she had the wherewithal, after she called 911 and the police responded, to take some photos of herself. You can see them online, where she was bleeding out bleeding badly. And she said, first of all, she said the police did a great job. But then she said, why aren't we prosecuting these people? These men knew what they were doing wrong. I have no doubt that they have done this before, yet they're still on our streets. Again, this is the woman who just a couple of years ago tweeted, dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. It has systematically failed the black community. So, here's the thing. Politicians like her, when they tragically become the victims of violent crime, all of a sudden they have an understanding of what the rest of the country is going through when it comes to being the victims of violent crime.
So thank you for putting that so well and so succinctly. I really feel like this is a conversation that needs to be had since we are in a position now where we have a lot of major cities that are suffering from staffing shortages for the police. I hate what happened to her, but I am grateful that she immediately took to social media and essentially recanted her previous position. Now, I hope she maintains. I hope she's not bullied later or forced into, kind of doubling down on where she was before. The fact is, she would have been very upset if the police had never responded to her, if they didn't come and kind of commiserate with her and seek to investigate. She would be very upset if she found out that they were able to apprehend these suspects and they were allowed out with no bail. I mean, all of the policies that she has advocated for in the past, which are, it's kind of like a buffet or a combo pack. I shouldn't say a buffet, a combo pack, right, Sergeant Betsy? If you advocate for defunding the police, you also advocate for no cash bail. If you advocate for no cash bail, you're also advocating for possibly abolishing the police, abolishing prisons, giving these diversionary programs to violent offenders, that type of stuff. So when you're on that defund the police train, and you have that train of thought, that activism that you've been working for month after month and year after year, it's great to see her recant. And I hope other people would see the common sense that she's actually sharing because of what happened to her and rethink their positions as well.
Well, and the sad thing is, you know, she was lucky to, first of all, she's lucky to be alive, but she is lucky because the Minneapolis Police Department was able to respond to her violent crime, but they're still at least 300 police officers short. They cannot replace the officers who are leaving in droves, as you can just imagine. And so she was able to get police service. That doesn't always happen in Minneapolis because of this 3 years of the vilification of the Minneapolis Police Department and, frankly, all of Minnesota law enforcement and of course, of American law enforcement as well. And, you know, and this woman said, hey, you know, 3 years ago, she said, we have got to come up with an infrastructure that will work for all communities. And she really didn't talk a whole lot about any of that after she became the victim of a crime. And, you know, she talked about, and I understand how she felt, she talked about the rage she felt. And I hope that she keeps that rage with her, you know, because, again, as a mom, you're a mom, I'm a mom. Imagine, you know, she's having to fight off these four young men and her babies are in the car. And they had to witness this. And so she, rightfully so, feels the rage in having her children witness this and having that fear as a mom that if I lose consciousness, are they going to go after my children next? I hope she keeps that rage within her, and I hope she keeps that appreciation for the police department in her as well, and that as she moves forward to heal, she moves forward to help her community understand why they need to support law enforcement.
Yeah, so many things are going through my mind as you're talking. I mean, four young men, it could have gone so horribly wrong. And, you know, I know she shared pictures of herself. You know, she received a head injury and she was bleeding, but she was still upright and conscious. She was beaten up, but she wasn't raped. She wasn't kidnapped. None of her children were touched and none of them were kidnapped. So there's so many reasons to be grateful that you know, they went there and no further. But I think, you know, what I'd really like to see is I'd like to see her use the same kind of energy she used in defunding the police to go after violent criminals and to gather together other victims of violent crime and to work in her community with the same activists she worked with before, only now working to restore the police. To restore their respect, the blows to their reputation, to restore the idea that, nope, the police aren't perfect, but they certainly aren't to be vilified. They deserve our respect because they show up. When they show up to answer a 911 call, it's not like they're like, oh, I'm showing up to you because I know you. You know, I'm showing up to help you because you're friends with my wife or my mom or my daughter. No, they show up for strangers. They just show up because you dialed 911. They show up ready to defend, to investigate, to whatever the situation might call for. She called strangers that she had previously vilified and knocked, and they showed up for her anyway. They could have said, well, could you check and see who it is? Run that cell phone number through our database. Oh, she's an activist. She doesn't believe police should exist. So this is what, mark that no response, check the box, and who's next? Who else has called 911? Do you see what I mean? There's so much irony to her dialing 911. It's almost as if, shouldn't she, Sergeant Betsy, have said, wow, I'm being carjacked, but I don't believe in the police, so I'm not going to call them. I think I'll call some of my activist buddies and see if they can get here. Because that's what she wants. She wants a world without police, so why not call them? Call a social worker, a mental health worker, a grocery store worker, a gas station attendant, anybody but the police, because she wanted them defunded and she got her wish.
Well, and she has talked about in the past that, you know, it's no wonder that Black people are so angry in Minneapolis. It's no wonder that young people feel so hopeless. And so maybe she should have talked to these four young men and asked them, oh, instead of beating me up, please tell me about your rage. Tell me about your oppression. Tell me what I can do for you as someone who's on the same side politically as you are. No, she of course she didn't do that. And, but, you know, here's the thing. The most people in Minneapolis and the surrounding area of the Twin Cities, they want more police, and they deserve more police. They deserve, you know, we the National Police Association got involved in a lawsuit. We filed an amicus brief because this was a couple of years ago. We were that was successful because a judge said that you know what you people deserve. You know, the police can't be everywhere at once. But people deserve enough police officers and enough police resource officers. And when your very political leadership is trying to destroy that for you, as was happening in 2020 and into 2021, that's wrong. And we got involved in that. And I hope that she takes the time to review some of the legislation that I know that she has championed, and that she meets with Minneapolis police leadership and asks them, what can I do to help support your boots on the ground officers who are working so hard to protect this community? And oh, by the way, I'm sorry for things I said against you in the past.
Boy, I'd love to see that, and not out of a sense of revenge, but because it would make such a huge difference for the officers there and for people who previously had thought that they might want to go in law enforcement but have since changed their minds because of the atmosphere. It could go a long way to getting those people back into that mind frame.
Again, Minneapolis is one of those 9 out of every 10 police departments that is currently short staffed. Boy, wouldn't that help to hear somebody say, you know what, MPD, I'm sorry, sincerely sorry, and I sure appreciate you men and women. I know for a fact that would go a long way to start the healing.
It would. And so perhaps in these weeks, you know, after the carjacking, I know there's, you know, some people suffer from PTSD after a criminal act. And I know there's a lot for her to go through and process, and perhaps she can get there. I hate that this happened to her, but it is illustrative of what she actually advocated for and the reality of the situation, which is she didn't hesitate. She didn't even think about the fact that she had previously said horrible things about the police. She called them because she knew they would come. She called them because they are a resource that she has access to as a taxpayer. She called them because she knows they don't pick and choose who they serve. They just show up when you dial 911. And they did it for her, and she really owes them a debt of gratitude. So let's talk about this New Mexico sheriff who she, like Dr. Fauci is the science, she is the law. She is the Constitution. She is the Second Amendment. She actually tried to cancel the Second Amendment, and there's a sheriff there in New Mexico who was like, not today, evil one, not today. Tell us about this one.
So Michelle Grisham, she's my neighbor governor. I'm in Arizona. She's the governor of New Mexico. Last Friday, she issued an emergency order to suspend the rights of legal gun owners and permit holders to carry their firearm, either openly or concealed, in and around the city of Albuquerque. Now, of course, this was a 30-day public. She did it under the Public Health Emergency Response Act. If that sounds familiar to everyone, that's what was used during COVID, of course. And so she said, well, I have to do something. And this was in response, again, to horrible things, Stacey. You know, she had multiple shootings in the Albuquerque area, several involved children, and they were horrific crimes. But here's the thing. So the governor said, well, we'll just tell everyone they can't carry their gun. Well, of course, that goes against the Second Amendment. And frankly, it goes against New Mexico law. So the Bernalillo County sheriff said, yeah, we're not going to enforce that. Now, in reality, the sheriff couldn't enforce it even if he wanted to, because really, this is just a civil order, and it's only punishable by a fine. You can't even arrest somebody for it. And the only people that can even try to enforce this order would be the state police. And, of course, the chief of Albuquerque came out and said, yeah, we're not going to do anything about it either. And but it's an interesting thing because, again, the governor, you know, she has signed in the past all kinds of police reform legislation. She's talked about, you know, how we need to make sure that people can get out of prison, you know, if they need to, for medical issues, for what she calls geriatric issues, things like that. She has not been a great friend of criminal justice in New Mexico. And in fact, she appointed a political buddy of hers to be her DA when the Bernalillo County DA became their attorney general. She appointed a guy that his name's Sam Bregman, and he was appointed about 8 months ago. And even though the prosecutors in the prosecutor's office asked her to appoint someone with experience. Mm-hmm. Now, Sam Bregman is experienced in Democrat politics, and he's experienced as a defense attorney and a private attorney. He's not experienced as a district attorney, as a prosecutor. But he has doubled the number of prosecutors in his office, and so far it seems like he's trying to do some good. But the problem is, in Albuquerque, again, over the last, now this has been about the last 10 years, their crime has doubled and tripled, and the governor just wants to talk about the guns. And she keeps talking about the crisis of gun violence, and when you talk about the guns, you don't have to talk about street gangs or drugs or your open border or your low punishment for crime or any of that, Stacey. So this was either just poorly thought out on her part, or I think it was just kind of a stunt to get more attention and maybe to float that trial balloon to see how people would react.
Yep,
and it's getting her a lot of attention, but it's not stopping the gun crime in her state.
It's getting her a lot of the wrong kind of attention, because you even have some activists who would normally side with her coming out and saying that this goes too far, because they want permanent changes that can't be undone by a subsequent administration. Like, if she was able to successfully ban guns for 30 days, and even if she was able to do it successfully for, you know, the remainder of her term, you have another governor coming in who would just reverse that policy. And activists like David Hogg, they want permanent changes. Permanent rescission of rights.
Right.
It's interesting that she admitted that it wouldn't do anything about gun violence, because the only people who would be impacted by this would be those who carry lawfully, because criminals don't care what laws you pass about, you know, how they're going to carry guns. They'll carry a gun if they want to. If they don't, they won't.
Well, you know, when you listen to her interviews and you read her statements, she honestly seems incapable of leading in this crisis. You know, she just kind of throws up her hands and says, you know what, we have all this gun violence and I don't really know what to do. So I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. She really seems quite over her head. And if I was a resident of New Mexico, I would be very concerned about that, because she just doesn't seem to understand what's happening in Albuquerque or around the state. You know, I mean, we've seen this, again, because I live so close. We drive through Albuquerque frequently. I've trained a lot of cops there. My husband and I both have, both in the city and in the county. And, you know, we saw their homicides rising in about 2019, and then they exploded, of course, in 2021. And it's not for lack of trying by the cops, but as criminal justice reform creeps into that county and across the state, just like so many other places in this country, we see, you know, the euphemism of criminal justice reform, and what it's really doing is making life easier for the criminal and so much harder for crime victims.
Mm-hmm. And also just the fact that we have people who are obviously ill-suited for government. And her response to all of this has been one that it doesn't exemplify what Americans need. So solutions are the name of the game. Creativity and also a return to law and order? Because I'm assuming you just discussed the police shortage there. So her time would be better spent actually talking about what kind of benefits and training and you know, just the different ways that they can draw in more officers, talking to community members and encouraging them to promote the police as a great career option for young people who are looking for an opportunity. Young people who aren't maybe going to college, or they've gone to college but they're not sure what they want to do with their degree. Being a police officer could be a wonderful you know, opportunity for them to branch out in their skills and serve their community. She should be promoting that kind of behavior. She's got time on her hands, obviously, because she came up with this stupid idea.
And you know what? When you look at that area that she's targeting, which is Albuquerque and parts of Bernalillo County, I know both of those agencies, and they are incredibly professional. And the organization, Post, it's called the Mexico Post, the organization that runs police training and all of that in New Mexico, again, is run by well-educated, experienced people. This is not a cowboys and Indians kind of, you know, Wild West situation, if you will, in New Mexico. These are professional cops who know what they're doing. And, you know, they need the help of the prosecutor's office, which, again, in Bernalillo County is slowly but surely they're getting their staffing back up. But, you know, when you have over 100 homicides a year just in Albuquerque alone, that doesn't count the rest of the county. You know, you're going to have a difficult time keeping up with those cases. But, you know, the governor also needs to talk about not just the guns and that term of gun violence, but the why. The whys. And you know, she talks about child victims. You know, she doesn't want to talk about, it seems, child offenders, people under the age of 18. And she's got a street gang problem. She's got a motorcycle gang problem. She has a horrific border problem, as does every border state in this country. And she doesn't have enough cops, and she has policies that are not helpful to crime victims.
Well, you know, lessons are being taught all across the country. The lady who was against the police is now having to eat her words, and we are grateful for that. The truth, and that she can eat her words from a position of saying it could have been much worse. She really survived a potentially horrific crime. And for this governor, my hope is that, you know, she may be a very nice person. She may be great to have lunch with or do crafts with. She may be a fantastic conversationalist, but she doesn't sound like she's cut out to be the governor of a state and in charge of the lives of so many people. I really think that voters there need to reassess her suitability at the next available opportunity, and hopefully they'll do that. In any case, it's always a pleasure when I see your name come up on our calendar here at the show to join us. We love having Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith in our wheelhouse, giving her expertise from National Police Association at Sergeant Betsy Smith on Twitter. Thank you so much.
Great to hear you. I can't wait to hear the rest of the show.
Oh, thank you. Really appreciate you tuning in and also being with us. It's so great to have Sergeant Betsy. She's such an expert, and also the analysis. She comes from the law enforcement background. She supports the police, but she also has the common sense analysis of any type of situation having to do with crime. And we have so much to tackle here in our country. We need to clone Sergeant Betsy. We need more of her. All right, we'll be back with more after this. Stay right there.